I'm Shannon. Wait, I'm not
Shannon.
I'm already drunk.
Suce un sac de bite.
Kamala!
Kamala! Kamala! Emilio!
Charlie! You fucking bitch! Let's work it out! Charlie! I quoted that movie the other day on Twitter. That's from, it was like one of my favorite movies in college, High Fidelity. And at the beginning, he goes, which came first, the music or misery? Did I listen to pop music because I was miserable? Or was I miserable because I listened to pop music? That was what I quoted on the Twitter machine yesterday, because someone was talking about music causing kids to commit suicide. So I quoted High Fidelity. But yeah. Let's back out to what we were originally screaming about. Joe Biden announced his VP candidate today. You guys, the internet is all over the fucking place on this. Mm-hmm. Like, people are furious. People are delighted. I have never seen, I mean, and I'm talking just Dems. I'm not even talking about what Republicans have thought.
Yeah, we don't care about Republicans.
Although I do want to mention real quick that Trump decided he was calling her phony Kamala. And I'm like, that's the best you can do? Come on.
Well, we all know he has the IQ of a four-year-old, so.
Yeah, but he's usually like.
At least a four-year-old will call you a stupid doo-doo face.
He's usually good at insulting people.
That's how low the bar is dropped, people. When you get disappointed that your president didn't use a better insult.
That's where I'm at.
I should put that on my Facebook. This is where we are. When you're disappointed, your president isn't throwing enough shade.
Shade. Dude, he could have shaded so much better. There were a lot of options. He could have picked a more racist option.
We all know he's not afraid to be racist, so.
What? He could have picked something racist and clever. I'm not saying I would have liked that better. I'm just saying that phony Kamala is real. Real not. It doesn't have a ring to it. It's not creative or fun. Why is she phony? How is she phony?
Right. Is it because, like, she's criticized Biden so much and now she's his running mate? Like, bitch, this is politics. You know, opinions change overnight, literally.
I know.
That's
what a lot of people
literally
being like, she used to say this, or I'm like, I don't give a shit. Everybody plays politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Biden picked her.
Literally. Doing my Moira literally. I notice she curls her lips over her teeth to talk sometimes.
Speaking of Catherine O'Hara, I bought the coolest fucking shirt yesterday.
Okay. Courage.
She's not on the shirt. It's just, I bought a Beetlejuice shirt and it said, never trust the living. And it's got the like big mouth eyeball characters.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was where my brain jumped. Catherine O'Hara. Catherine O'Hara's in Beetlejuice. I bought a sweet Beetlejuice shirt.
I bought some Good Place masks last night.
Nice.
They were a little more expensive than I wanted to pay for them. I was looking for Jeremy Baramy stuff.
Yeah. Jeremy Baramy, baby.
Anyway, Camilla. Good choice. I figured she'd be his pick. So
I didn't feel like I had any idea where he was going with this.
He had like, a lot of really great choices.
Yeah.
A lot. So.
Yeah. But I'm still kind of shocked. Like, I was on Twitter and it's just like, worst idea ever. Best idea ever. Like, it's wild.
Who cares at this point?
True.
Like, if you don't like it, let's all vote libertarian and really stun the shit out of everyone. You know, where's that grassroots movement? Don't like A or B? There is a C.
Well, actually,
she's a female.
I was talking to certain exes of mine while I was trying to fix my computer the other night, and he said that he was voting Libertarian because he always does.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you sure? Is there anything I can get you to say to get you to change your mind? Yeah. And he's like, it's as if I have a plate of shit in front of me right now. And I'm like, I don't want this shit. And then they're like, well, here's vomit instead.
Yeah.
Which, I like,
beg Scott to vote for Biden.
Yeah. I
was like, we just got to get him out of office. And then next time, I'm like, honey, normally I wouldn't beg, but I'm kind of begging. Like, because he cackled at me. He laughed real hard.
Yeah.
He LOL'd real hard.
Yeah. Well, but also, Mark was saying,
just need to get him out, man.
How every single election, people are always like, this one is the most important. This one, blah, blah, blah. Like how every single election is like that. And I was like, I would argue that this one actually is. And he goes, I don't even necessarily think I disagree with you. And then I was like, Michigan only, like, Hillary only lost Michigan by 10,000 votes, and more people than that voted third party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so if your vote, if like it came down to you and you had, and you like, it came down to you and you can either vote for this other party and Trump wins, or you can vote for Biden and Biden wins. Like if it came down to your vote, which obviously mathematically that doesn't work out like that, but you get what I'm saying.
Right. Right. Your one vote is going to swing. Like, where are you going to put it?
And he goes, yeah, I would vote for Biden in that case. I go, okay, well, I think that you need to do some research on like how likely it is for Michigan to be the like deciding state, and like how much vote power your vote has in this state. Cause I think that's really, I think you need to look at that.
Yeah. There's some sort of professor, and I forget if he's mathematician or poli-sci or something else. But he is like one of the handful that's accurately predicted.
Alan Lichtman? Is that the one you're talking about?
Maybe.
Okay.
One's predicted Trump, one's predicted Biden. So.
Well, Alan Lichtman predicted Biden. So he wrote a book in 1996, but he developed the idea before that. He started doing this in the 80s. And it's he said that like polls only create like a snapshot in time.
Yeah, it's the poll guy. Yeah.
This is the not poll guy.
Yeah, He's the one that like, yes, we're talking about the same guy.
Okay. Who says that like the polls just like show you one moment and don't give you the whole picture. And his keys to the White House are like, which party holds the White House? Is there an incumbent president? Have there been scandals? Have there been like legislative victories? So he has, you know, people have been asking him, obviously, this whole time. There's 13 keys, and whoever gets more keys is the one who's more likely to win, according to his prediction model. Yeah. He did predict Gore in 2000, but I think we can give him that one because Gore should have won.
Yeah.
So.
That was the hanging Chad incident year, right?
Yes, that was then. So. Anyway, he went through all of the things, and Biden has 7 keys and Trump has 6. So that's he predicted Trump in 2016. And I remember listening to him on NPR and just being like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But turns out he does. He actually, like, I thought he just made up a system, you know, like when I was listening to him talk 4 years ago on NPR, I was like, he just fucking made shit up. But like, no, he actually studied all of this a lot about like, what do voters actually care about and what do they actually vote on?
Yeah.
So he called Biden. So that made me feel a tiny little glimmer of hope.
Yeah, me too. Well, we still have to get out there and vote.
Of course we do.
I was thinking about my, I talked to my friend Zoe from Atlanta last week. We talked for like 2 hours, man. And I told her I was thinking about volunteering, taking the day off and volunteering on election day to either work at the polls or just help people get to the polls, you know, because I think it's really important to help people vote who want to go and vote. So she's like, oh my God, I'm doing that too. I'll send you a link. So I guess Trevor Noah is really pushing that also. I really think that we should get election day off so that we can do volunteering and activism like that, you know.
So election day being then, did we talk about this last week?
I think we did.
But we didn't record last week.
You're right. We talked about it, but it is not recorded, so proceed.
Election day, there's actually like a historical reason for that, which is that when we had an agrarian society, when everything was all agriculture, fall was good, November was good because it was past harvesting season, but like it wasn't winter yet because obviously people didn't fucking have cars. You had to take your like carriage to the fucking polling place, mm-hmm. right? So you didn't want to be taking your carriage in the snow.
10 feet of snow uphill both ways.
So that's why they picked early November. Cause
like an oxen pulling it.
It was past harvesting season, but before snow. And so like that was one of the reasons. And then they picked Tuesday because like Wednesday and Saturday were still market days. So like if there were people, because obviously not everybody planted vegetables, but like some people had meat farms. So like they still had markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So it was like all these reasons why, you know, 100 or 150 years ago, when they ever, they decided this, there were all these reasons why the first Tuesday in November was a like useful, was a useful date for people. Mm-hmm. But like, that's not our society anymore. And so we actually need to change it so that it, you know,
well, why? Why do we need to change it? I think it still kind of works.
No, I mean, we need to make it a holiday. Like, we need to make it so that people can get to it better.
Yes.
You know?
1845 is when Congress passed the federal law designating the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November as Election Day.
Right. So the reason it's that rule is it's not November 1st.
Yeah.
That's what that means. Yeah. So it can be November 2nd through 8th or however that works.
Yeah. Elections in colonial America were huge booze-fueled parties.
Let's make that a thing again.
Yeah, we just cried on my couch last time.
Oh my God. The like videos of me with my blanket over my head.
Live election coverage that you won't get to hear for 2 days.
See, that one was way more fun. That was watching Obama get reelected in 2012. That was delightful.
Man, that was delightful. Was that when we had blueberry vodka and we sang everything?
Yeah.
And drank every time they said Ohio. We were so drunk.
We did a drinking game. We did a drinking game for it. And yeah, that was what happened.
Ohio! Watched Rachel Maddow all night, my girlfriend. Anyway. What up, Maggie? What up?
Hi!
School starts soon. Actually, there's like giant school board meeting tonight because they fucking suck at technology last night. So I'm sure my mom groups will be picking up steam here, surely bitching and complaining. So, but I went ahead and we came to a family agreement last night regarding school this fall. To back up a tiny bit, I had a friend who has a fourth grader, and she's like, what if I just didn't send my kid to school this year? And I kept her home and taught her, you know, homesteading things, how to sew, how to cook, how to read a map, how to plot out our bike rides using compasses and, you know, doing like everyday math and stuff like that. And because everyone's like super stressed right now about school, like everyone. I have so much anxiety right now. I can't decide like if I have tummy issues or anxiety, like so much, so yeah. much right now.
I get it.
Just want to throw up most of the day.
You
so...
want to throw up and shit your pants?
Yep. All right. So I was like, you know what? You're right. Like my kid's going to be in first grade. She's just going to continue to do the same things she did in kindergarten, which was like learn how to write and form a sentence and read and do simple math. Like we can do that. And we can go on nature hikes and learn about science, and we can have art time and learn different techniques. And, you know, Bob Ross is on Netflix, so we can just paint some happy fucking little trees all year. So I proposed it to Scott, and then my sister looked into it for the Michigan laws for me because she's homeschooling in Tennessee because she's a planner and just didn't want to wait because the schools have been dragging their feet on everything. Long story longer. Catherine doesn't really want to go back to school. She has anxiety about getting sick. But Scott wants her to go to school, and I'm just ready to puke. So Scott agreed that we would enroll her in school, and then the first time school shuts down for like a COVID outbreak, that I get to withdraw her and homeschool her the rest of the year. So,
okay, dumb question. Does Scott think there's not going to be an outbreak?
He must, because he agreed to it. I think there's going to be one in, I think they'll be sent home in October.
Yeah.
Like, no. We'll get a month of school.
Yeah.
Before they're sent home for another month.
My girlfriend Natalie wrote to U of M to say she thought that it was really irresponsible for them to have the kids come back this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Because like U of M has a lot of money. Like they have the structure to not have people there, right?
Yeah, yes.
They have the infrastructure to be able to do online classes.
Yes.
So, and in her letter, like a badass, she goes, "The way you're rearranging the football season says to me that you know it's going to get shut down again." I was like, yes, read them to filth, Natalie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's big. The football season and the basketball season fund the entire athletic department.
Oh, yeah.
The entire athletic department. All the other sports. All of them. Oh, my God. You know the clue thing I posted?
Yeah.
My friend just posted David Rose. And she just goes close second to the Clue version. So now I have to post some sort of David Rose gif.
Obviously, that's what you have to do.
I'm going with yes. 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 So January is just like David smirking. And then like February is same thing. And March is like, what? And like all the, like the what faces all just get increasingly worse till he's like in June and like angry in July and angry in August. And then the September one is his Amish outfit on the farm with the pitchfork.
Yes.
Like, fuck this shit.
I made one of Felicia Day.
You did, oh yeah. I did see that. You made that?
Yeah, I made that one.
Awesome.
For Gish. It was one of the Gish items to do it with a star from Supernatural. And she was a guest star for a couple seasons.
Ah.
They killed because they kill everybody on Supernatural. But I love Felicia Day. And I got to like stalk her Instagram and try to look at screenshots from all her movies. And that's almost funny. Ended the, in September with her being stabbed in Dr. Horrible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. With the ray gun bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's mine. I think that, like, it doesn't exactly follow everybody else's because my July is like, yeah, I'm just fucking eating a lot.
Right. Yeah. I did like the crying in September, like the makeup running down her face. I totally did see that.
She's also smiling like, yeah. I've got this.
You've got this.
But yeah, July, she looks a little too excited about the snacks in comparison to all the other ones, but like I really liked the message that was sending of like, and July, I just ate the whole month.
Right. Like you do.
Right. Right. How's your drugs going?
I am not really feeling them. Like they're making me drink a ton of water, but that's about it. My friend was like, I have so much energy on this shit. And she's just like, the weight's just melting off her. I'm like, well, you're also like walking and running 5 miles a day. So that's helping with the weight loss. Like I'm not doing that. So it's not giving me a ton of energy. It's making me drink a lot of water and giving me weird poops, which is very confusing in the time of COVID. And it's like ragweed season. So I have like weird poops and a runny nose and post nasal drip. So that's exciting.
Yes, that is exciting.
But yeah, but Scott has an appointment on Thursday to talk to his doctor about weight loss. I was like, so what's your strategy going into that? What are you going to ask her about? I don't know. I'm just going to talk to her. I was like, well, you know, she's just going to recommend that you go see a nutritionist. And you're going to go to a nutritionist and talk about your eating habits. And they're going to try to brainstorm with you on how you can eat better and live a healthier lifestyle. I'm like, so what type of healthier lifestyle do you want to do? Do you want to try to cut carbs for a little bit and see how that goes? Like no sugar. And let's go walking a mile a day together as a family. Do you want to clean eat? Do you want to do a fully plant-based diet for a month and see what happens? What's your strategy? What do you want to do? Just want a pill. Can they just give me a pill? I'm like, the good pill that's on the market for that is Phentermin, and you can't have that because you have high blood pressure. Your heart will beat right the fuck out of your chest.
Okay, so I was going to tell you this before you guys, a little backstage, like, information here. Shannon and I talk before we record, so now you know that happens.
Well, it's like when you come over, you sit here for 3 hours before we record, yes. So.
Yeah, I know, I'm being silly, so. I'm being silly about that. That's why I made it a big deal, because it's like very obvious. Anyway, when we were talking before we started recording, I said I was going to save this for the podcast. So here I go, because it's related to the thing you were just talking about.
Here I go again on my own.
My knee keeps hurting from running. It's definitely runner's knee. Like it's definitely like on the underside of my right knee where they're like, does it hurt going up and down the stairs? And I'm like, yes. So I have not gone running in 2 weeks, and I'm going to wait even a little longer. And my brother was like, have you been doing stretches? Have you been doing this? I'm like, yeah, it's getting better, but it still hurts going up and down stairs. And he was like, I think it's time to go to the doctor. And I don't want to go to the doctor, because what do you think the doctor is going to fucking say to me, Shannon?
They're going to recommend that you do some PT, and you're going to do the same stretches that you've already been doing. And they're going to tell you to take some acetaminophen and elevate your knee so it can heal.
And they're going to rest. Tell me to lose weight. They're going to tell me to lose weight. All of those things. They're going to tell me to do the stretches I've already been doing. They're going to tell me to take acetaminophen. They're going to tell me to rest the knee, and they're going to say, you need to lose weight.
Like, what do you think I'm trying to do, fuckers?
What do you think? Because
it's exciting. It is so fun to run in July.
That's why I've been doing it. Because it's great. I don't hate it at all.
I mean, I still have that rowing machine I bought last November. I haven't used yet. I think I should start doing it. My knee is getting better.
Good.
So my knee's been fucked up since February, right?
Yeah. Have you stopped sitting bisexual?
I stopped sitting bisexual a long time ago, at least on that knee. And remember we talked, I'm like, I don't do anything to warrant a knee injury. I literally sit on my ass all day. My knees are bent all day long.
Right.
I also switched up at the same time my pillows on my bed and how I prop my knees at night. And I noticed on vacation at your granny's house after sleeping on that hard-ass, straight, concrete bed.
Yeah.
That my knee felt better after 3 days.
Oh my goodness.
So I've stopped propping my knees at night since then. And now I can almost go up and down the stairs without pain.
Nice.
So it still hurts. It still gets stiff. But it's like way better than how like it fucking hurts right now to extend it. I think my knees are just bent too much. Like I'm not moving enough. Yeah. Like my desk job is too sedentary. You know, like I have to get up and move around. I should probably get one of those fucking standing desks. I wonder if I should go into work and get my standing desk. I have one on my desk.
I think you can look up some knee stretches for you too. We probably have to do the same knee stretch.
Probably. Yeah. Cause remember it was like, it originally felt like I had like overextended all the muscles on the top of it. Now it's like the sides and underneath hurt more.
Yeah.
So anyway, yay for getting old.
My doctor has told me twice to lose weight about unrelated shit. Mm-hmm. So she told me to lose weight when I got my kidney stone.
Mm-hmm.
What in the ever-loving fuck?
Are they concerned about like the visceral fat around your organs inside your body?
And then who gives a shit? Like,
well, because that can cause issues. Like,
not kidney stones. Skinny people get kidney stones all the time.
This is true.
And then she told me that I needed to lower my cholesterol, and in order to do that, I needed to lose weight. I have lowered my cholesterol, and I haven't lost any weight.
Right.
Pachoo! I gave her the middle finger. So,
my like underarm issue is weight related, and all the skin tags on my body are weight related. So. I'm starting to acquire some weight-related comorbidities. My doctor did recommend in February that I should consider taking the pre-diabetes medicine because I think that will help lower my sugars just a tad where they need to be. And it works as an appetite suppressant, so it might help you lose weight.
Yeah, well, because my doctor has brought up weight on those two things. That's why I am sure she's going to bring it up with the knee thing.
Yeah.
You know, because she has twice before. Kidney stone, bitch, please.
Yeah. Have you thought about getting your thyroid extensively tested?
Yes. So. I think I do need to get my thyroid tested.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Jenny's been, she exercises like a mother, or was, you know, in the bouts that she was exercising like a mother and clean eating, like she'd lose a little weight and then plateau. But she's still like doing all the quote unquote right things to lose weight and couldn't. But it took her 4 years to get the right thyroid test too. 4 years of trying and working real hard and doctors not believing her. So.
Right.
Welcome to the U.S. medical health industry, where no one believes you. Well, and I mean, all they do is recommend lose weight and Motrin and water.
I mean, that is particularly true for women.
Yeah.
Like, they do not believe women. And I've read so many stories about that online, it just infuriates me.
Yep.
And the one that's like very famous in a Tumblr post, it goes around every so often, where this woman kept on going in with breathing issues and for 5 years, and all these different doctors told her to just lose weight and her breathing issues would go away. And
she had cancer?
She had cancer. And by the time they found it, she like had weeks left to live.
Yeah.
I gave the finger again, you guys.
Yeah.
But that's how fat people are treated, and that's how women are treated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandmother's lung cancer looked like pneumonia. So they told her she had pneumonia. Well, the pneumonia didn't go away. 6 months later, she still had it. And then that's when they decided to look at it further. So. What? Yep. Kamala Harris Trump slipping on his insults. We're old and falling apart.
Yep. All those things are true. Yeah, no, I've got
some stuff.
Yeah, sure. I watched all of the second season of Umbrella Academy.
Nice.
It was delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I love Klaus. Just going to come out and say it. I'm mm-hmm. not unique in this way at all. Everybody loves Klaus. I love Klaus.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the kid who plays Five is such a fucking good actor. Yes. Because did you watch season one?
No, I just see all the previews and everyone talks about it. So
his story is that he jumped forward in time accidentally. And he's actually like 75 years old, right? So he like jumped forward in time and lived this whole life. And when he was able to travel back in time, he turned 13 again in his body.
Oh, but
is actually an old man, right? So he like drinks coffee and drinks whiskey and condescends everybody. But like the kid who plays this guy is great. Like he's such a good fucking actor.
It sounds delightful.
Yeah. And they travel back in time in the second season. They travel back in time and they find their dad and their adoptive dad.
Yeah.
And their adoptive dad's like, you talk to me. You're the only one who seems to understand anything. So they're like drinking whiskey together. And he's like, I'm actually older than you now. The kid. Which is really funny. So
yeah,
it's pretty enjoyable. And Klaus is my favorite.
Yeah.
He's delightful. So that's good. Some asshole got my Netflix password somehow.
Uh-oh.
And I just really hate that. Listen, people out in the world, if you are using a Netflix profile that you have by some sort of like trickery, or it happens to be logged in on somebody's television or computer, don't use the first profile. That is the person who pays for it.
Use guest one, guest two.
There you go. Right. Use somebody down the line. Or even if they all have names, use somebody down the line.
Right.
Because they're not paying for it. The first person is paying for it.
That is correct.
I'm fucking paying for it. I don't want you
screwing up with... Fuck with my algorithms.
Don't fuck with my algorithms. Don't fuck with my feed. I was re-watching Schitt's Creek because as much as I give you shit for that, we are the same person.
Mm-hmm.
I was re-watching Schitt's Creek for the fourth time, fifth time. I don't know, whatever. And I
lost count. I'm about to wrap up season five again. Already.
I'm in the middle of season two, middle/end of season two. And all of a sudden my Schitt's Creek is on episode one and somebody has been watching Shameless. It wasn't me.
Scott is always amazed at how different our profile is because he watches all like action and historical stuff and I watch all the poppy stuff. And if I am in the mood for action, I actually go to his profile because it just brings up totally different shit than what's on mine.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I love My Little Pony, but when I was watching it on my Netflix, all of a sudden all of my things were kid shows. And I was like, don't you know brownies exist?
Right.
You dumb motherfuckers.
Yeah, when I first got Netflix, I gave the password to my brother and he started watching wrestling shit. And this was like, I think it was you could still only have had Netflix a long time.
Yeah, no, you've had it since before me and I got it in 2015.
I don't think you could have multiple profiles yet.
Yeah.
And then the second I could get him one, I got him one. And then we had Catherine, and then we had an exchange student. And so I kicked my brother off Netflix and was like, get your own. You're a grown man. Go get your own.
Yeah. So well,
you still have a profile on my Disney.
What, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I still watch it on yours.
Did you have your own?
No, my mom really fucked it up. I still watch exclusively on yours.
That's hilarious.
If you ever need me to fix that, I can. But
no, that's okay. I don't care.
I watch on yours.
Perfect.
Oh, my mother. Sometimes I just don't know. Like the other night, I'm not going to tell the story. You guys, I dosed my mom.
You didn't dose your mom. Your mother ate a suspect pastry out of the freezer that she should have questioned the household members of before eating.
Correct.
Who eats a brownie they think is from Christmas with a bite out of it in the freezer?
That is the question. That is the question that should be asked. Who eats a brownie? Also,
I would, but like, I would take full responsibility of whatever happened. Also, if I looked at it and thought it was suspicious, I'd definitely be asking the other adult members of the household.
She just wanted a brownie. Like, let's be honest. She wanted to eat a brownie.
Obviously.
It's
like eating frosting out of the can just because you want some chocolate.
That's exactly what was going on in this scenario. So here's the other thing that blows my mind. It was not a plain brownie. It was a cookies and cream brownie. So it has cookies and swirls in it. Never, never in my life has anyone brought anything that looked like that to Christmas. My mother is the only one who makes brownies, and she makes plain chocolate brownies with walnuts. Like, what do you mean you thought it was from Christmas? Nobody's ever fucking brought anything like this to Christmas.
That is even funnier. At this point, that she makes the brownies at Christmas,
yep.
and never in her life has made an Oreo brownie.
Correct. She uses.
I'm now Irma's even more dead than I was previously.
She makes Grandma Irma's brownie recipe, and that's what she makes. And those are the brownies at Christmas. And Grandma Irma did not make Oreo cookies and cream swirled brownies. Made
did you like happen to record your mom at all, any of her conversations?
No, I didn't.
Did she have any good ones? No. Yeah.
Two little things. Well, first, like, it had just hit her and she goes, but I took it an hour ago. Yes, mom, that's how edibles work.
Yep.
And then when I was talking to her, she just kept going, I feel autistic.
Like she could hear everything.
And I don't even know what that means. I literally don't know what I feel autistic means.
Everything is too loud. All her senses are heightened.
I mean, it kind of seems like an insult. Like, I don't really know what that means. And then I was like, you just need to go to sleep. You need to go to sleep and sleep this off. And she like ripped a huge fart. And I was like, do you feel better? And she goes, no, I feel the same. And then I was like, do you want to put like ocean sounds on so you can go to sleep? And she was like, I don't know. And I made Dad put on ocean sounds, and she starts giggling and goes, it sounds like my fart. Because she let such a huge one rip where it was like.
Yeah.
And then when the ocean sounds came on and it was like. So that was very funny.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Now you know. Now you know the things that happened.
I love it. I feel
real bad about the whole scenario.
Yeah, I know. I think you got to take some responsibility as the person who ate it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would totally ask.
Right?
But.
I mean, it's
funny.
Most people would ask.
Oh, I accidentally overdosed myself. Day. Yeah. Well, like the next day, my aunt. I was cleaning. I took a few days off last week, and so I was cleaning and reorganizing some things, and it's like, oh my God, I didn't realize I had all these gummies still from last summer. I still have two giant 100 milligram bears.
And then I cut into 20 pieces.
Yeah, and then, but they're still whole, and I still had like five baby pieces from the third cut gummy. It's like, oh, well, these are like super tiny. I'll just eat all of these. So I threw them in my mouth.
The rings that we've been eating lately are 25s.
Right. And so I knew all these little pieces were roughly 5 milligrams. So I threw them all in my mouth and went about my afternoon. And about 30 minutes later, I'm sitting on the back porch with my aunt and her boyfriend because he's redoing our bathroom for us. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. Oh shit. Like, fuck.
Too high to be here right now.
I wasn't like super high, but I just like felt it.
Yeah.
Like my teeth went numb and I was like, my teeth are numb. And everything's tingly on my body. I feel a little drunk. That's not supposed to happen.
Right. Right.
The rings don't do this. Shit. I'm not prepared for this. Is what more like what I was like, I'm not prepared for this. I'm just supposed to be calm, not like a little high. So.
Yeah, you and I both had come to the same conclusion that our tolerances were way up. And it turns out that their products are not as strong as they used to be.
Yeah. So I'm just going to start gnawing on my bear, though. I didn't eat the whole head later. I ate the two ears and the very tippy top of his skull.
So I got 100 milligram bear from a client once, from a former student who was now in college. And I was like, oh, like, I'll just bite off his head. Like, I want to eat about a third of it. Like, 33 is good. You know, like, I wanted to be pretty high. But, like, mm-hmm. I couldn't use my phone. I felt like I was sinking into the bed. I was, like, worried I was never going to get sober again. Like, this bear fucked me up. And I kept it in my purse. And I would just take the tiniest little bites off of it and be, like, woobly. Like, right. That bear had to have been like 300 milligram bear. That bear fucked me up.
That's hilarious.
I couldn't figure out how to use my phone. I couldn't, like, I just laid on the bed and I was like, what if I die here?
Oh man, sound like your mom.
Yeah.
I need to go to the hospital. No, you don't. They can't do anything for you.
You want to know what they do for you at the hospital?
I charge you
$2,000 and give you some Valium.
Yeah. I was like, give you an IV and some Motrin, water and Motrin.
they give you benzodiazepines and yeah, they might rehydrate you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've read enough stories about people who accidentally get too high and go to the ER to know, like, you don't go to the ER. There's nothing they can do for you. Not for THC. For right. Other shit. Yes. If you are overdosing on other shit, please go to the ER. They can save your life, but not for pot. That is just like a pat on the head and they go home and sleep it off. Good night, Wesley. I'll most likely kill you.
Most likely kill you tomorrow. Yep. Let's see what else. I was gonna open my Netflix and see what else I was watching. That was what made me go on the rant about it. Yeah. I saw what somebody else was watching.
I wanted to watch that Princess Bride from Home movie.
Yeah.
Quibi is a new streaming service, and they got a buttload of A-list celebrities, including the original cast of Princess Bride, to film the movie on their cameras at home.
Yeah.
And I found one 15-minute section from the fight with Wesley and the Spaniard through rescuing Princess Buttercup. So the three duels there. And they did, like, two sets of celebrities for each section. So it was very cool to see multiple people, kind of their interpretation of the same section of the scene. So, but fucking Patton Oswalt was amazing as Vicini. which is why I sent it to you. And I was like, you just fast forward to Patton's part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have been watching, speaking of Patton Oswalt, if you are a true crime fan like me, but not like Shannon, you should watch, and you have HBO access, you should watch I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is about his wife, Michelle McNamara's book, that she wrote. She was still writing when she died, and the people who helped finish it and co-wrote it with her finished it up. Anyway, Patton's on there being interviewed. It's a really incredible miniseries mm-hmm. about finding the Golden State Killer. So yeah, that's really good. And I also started rewatching for the millionth time. Actually, when I started watching this, I decided, because I was like, what can I do? Because I was crafting for Gish, and we definitely need to talk a little bit about Gish. I was crafting for Gish, and I was like, what can I put on that I don't need to pay attention to that I've seen that many times? And I was like, oh, Arrested Development. I have seen Arrested Development more times than I can count. Yeah. So I put Arrested Development on, and the pinata that I built took me almost the whole first season.
I'm on season 2, episode 18 of The Office.
How are you? When you told me you were watching The Office, I was like, you hate it, right? Don't you hate it?
It's okay. I feel like I have to be in the mood for it, you know. I started rewatching Community. I finished Say I Do. Did I talk about that yet? The wedding?
No.
So Say I Do is from the producers of Queer Eye, and it's about surprise weddings. Mm-hmm. And it's about 8 episodes long, and they have 3 experts, a cook, a planner, and a dressmaker, a seamstress. And they got a bunch of couples in the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area, Southern Indiana there. And of course, people nominated themselves. So one person in the couple knows, the other person doesn't. They think they've been picked to do, you know, a couples show for Netflix. They don't know they're going to be getting married at the end of the week. So it's very cute. It's very thoughtful and inclusive. The producers of Queer Eye are doing it. So you do get a few LGBTQ couples. There are couples of color, and then and others. So older couples, younger couples, you know, and then most of them have like really unique backstories as well. So the very last episode was the second or third gay couple, but they are both from very conservative families. And the one guy's mom just always comments, oh, we're so glad that, you know, you don't flaunt your gayness in front of us. You know, and at one point they did not know if that mom would be coming to the wedding. So they do a lot of, you know, personal growth and development on top of the wedding planning. So it's very cute. I definitely enjoyed it. And I took my time with it. I didn't binge it. So I do like 1 or 2 episodes a night. I actually started that when we were sequestered in the basement.
Yeah.
I just finished it. So. It was cute. I liked it. I was looking at my Netflix myself to see what I've been watching.
Yeah, so, what have I watched?
I think I did put Babysitter's Club in my queue.
Oh my god, it's so cute.
And Down to Earth with Zac Efron. So.
Oh, I watched a movie.
There's also something Killing Hasselhoff with Ken Jeong.
Huh.
And David Hasselhoff in it.
I didn't even know that was a thing that existed.
Yeah.
I watched the new teen dance movie. Netflix knows me. I love teen movies. I actually took a quiz online the other day.
Is it called The Work It?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, it's number 4 in the USA today.
Yeah, I love teen movies, and I love dancing movies. Like, it's a teen dance movie.
Yes, but I took please. A BuzzFeed
quiz that was like, we're sure that we can guess your age based on which teen movies you've seen.
Oh. Was it very confused because you've just seen them all?
Yeah. Yep. It said that I was a cusper, which is between millennial and zennial.
Yeah.
So it had me like a full.
Which is true.
No, I'm between. It had me a full thing beneath where I am. I'm between.
You're between Gen X and Millennial. You're a Zennial like me.
Yeah, I'm right. They were saying that I'm between Millennial and Gen Z.
Oh, I've been watching Good Place again too. So.
The fact that I'd seen all the 80s movies ones was gonna, like, they were gonna be like, oh.
Right.
You know.
Oh, I watched Love on the Spectrum. That was super cute. Was I don't think good? We've talked about that at all, have we?
No.
It was really good. It was really cute. And I don't want to say that in a pandering way that it was cute. It's 5 episodes and they range between like, most of them are about 45 minutes. But damn, like dating's hard, period, for everyone. And dating is perceived to be exceptionally hard for those with disabilities. People on the spectrum, people with mobility issues, deaf and hearing and whatnot. What I gathered from the show was that the people in the that were highlighted in the show and on the spectrum tend to they're always looking for love because they can't find that one person. Mm-hmm. They go on a ton of dates and they date a lot, but they can never find that one special person. And I was like, oh, well, they're dating just as intensely as everyone else, quote unquote, everyone else, but they just don't put up with the bullshit. So you, Maggie, go on a date.
Right.
And you get to know the person and you might let this, you know, date go extra long, you might see them 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more times to give them chances before you decide they're not really for me. People on the spectrum cut out all that bullshit. Yeah. And they either tell you the first date at the end of the date, I don't think this is going to work out. Or they give it 2 or 3 dates and then they're like, yeah, this isn't going to work out. And so they're burning, quote unquote, burning through people quicker because they just don't put up with the social norms of giving people chances to get to know them longer. Like they just know who they are. They know what they like. They know who's going to be a good mate for them. And so they're just like, bye, Felicia, you're not the one for me. And on to the next person they go. I think it, I perceived the show maybe to be a little more depressive to them because they date a ton of people before finding the right one, but it's just a shortened version of what people who are not on the spectrum deal with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like most, unless you're a real dickbag, most quote unquote normal people don't give up on the date at the end of it.
Right.
Like, we give them 3, 4, 5, 6 chances, to get to know them before we decide if they're really a good match or not. Right. These guys are just like, no, you don't like Pokemon Go, and that's really important to me in my life, and so this isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
And it actually can't be as... as specific and as that.
Yeah, I believe it. I buy it.
There was a girl who whipped out her sidekick and was playing video games at the table, at like the hibachi table. What are you into? I'm really into video games. Pulled out her fucking Nintendo Switch and started playing games. Here, play with me. And the guy's like, okay, this isn't what I practiced.
Yeah. Like,
this isn't what's normal. I'm not supposed, like, we shouldn't be doing this. We should be talking. And at the end of the day, we're like, yeah, this isn't going to work out. He's not into video games as much as I am.
That's really funny.
It was very cute. It was very touching. And just like, everyone is dealing with the same shit, trying to find love out in the world. So yeah. It was cute. It was filmed in Australia, so.
So last week was Gish.
Woo, Gish.
Felt weird not doing stuff at your guys' house.
Yeah.
But we had a real fun time, like, going off the kids' menu and picking stuff with Catherine.
Yeah, she had a lot of fun. We did, like, the three or four we picked, and she's like, are there more we can do? I was like, sure, we can see if we can do a few more. So
I know. It's kind of sad because, like, I have included her since she was two.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always kind of been wary or, like, last year, she just did not want to do it. Remember we had the snakes?
Right. Yeah, yeah,
and she
yeah.
She was like, no. And I was like, no, we're doing this. Like, I feel a certain sense of loss about the fact that, like, she was actually into it this year.
Into it this year, yeah.
Didn't get to be there.
It's all right. Hopefully she'll be into it again next year.
Forced it upon her every year so far.
Yeah. It might have also helped that we did it twice already this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's more used to it.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. I sent her on that her nature walk by herself.
Was for, like, the heart?
Yeah. I'm like, go here, take my phone. I'll turn on the camera and go find a heart in the yard. So she had originally found a leaf, and I was going to, she took a picture, and then, you know, she came and showed me, and then we went back outside, and I was going to take a better picture of the leaf, and then she realized, you know, there's a ton of clover in the yard, so she picked one and put it in her little hand.
Yeah, that one turned out cute. Yeah. The one where she stacked as many coins as she could, as tall as she could, was... She just looks so proud and happy in that one.
She was very proud. We took off some of those pennies and tried some dimes just to give it a little more dimension, like try all the coins.
Yeah.
Those pennies ended up being real top heavy on the stack. So I took multiple pictures and I kept taking pictures till they fell over.
That's very funny.
To get our highest stack possible. So
let's go through some of the things I did. I did a voting one where I had to take, so it's the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote.
Woo, votes for women.
The right to vote in 1920, and it is now 2020. It is the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. So you had to take a original suffragette poster and update it for, hang on. Come on, guy. Actually,
yeah, I think you showed it to me.
Did
I? Seen it. Yeah. Oh, you could also share it. Screen share if you wanted to.
That's on my phone though.
Oh, okay.
And then I made Franken tofu, which you got to see on my.
Yep. It kind of looks more like Luigi tofu, but that's okay.
Yeah, he has a mustache because Frankenstein has little like things, like he has little, you know, like above his lips. And I tried to make that, whatever. I'm still proud of it, even though it didn't.
No, it was cute. I liked it.
It didn't turn out as perfectly as I wanted it to.
Hitler tofu, you know.
Yeah, it does kind of look like that. And then I made that pinata that took me, like, very many hours. So here is the picture of the pinata by itself.
Like, yeah, it's like a little cloud monster, huh?
Yeah, I made it a rain cloud because the thing was, like, fill it with negative self-talk and destroy it. And so I was like, yeah, it's a rain cloud because it's like raining on my parade.
Right, right.
It's like raining bad thoughts down. So yeah, that was fun. And then I did one that was called hashtag a terrible life on Instagram. So I have me overeating and it says COVID diet. And then me at, what do you call that beach? Silver Lake, where there's a no sand beach. And then my yoga one is very funny.
Right.
Yoga. Yeah.
It's like you're trying to dive into your grass.
Well, I was doing pose and falling over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it does look like I'm trying to dive, though, which is also very funny. Some yogi who clearly follows the yoga life hashtag liked my post on Instagram of me falling over.
That's funny.
I wrote on Instagram, I'm starting to get really good at this, you guys. And she liked my post.
She's just being positive. Yes, you go, girl. You almost got it. Keep at yeah. it.
Yep. And then I put ice cream in my hair and put bird poop hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see that? So that was funny. And then this last one, I put up my middle finger. It says nail art, hashtag FU 2020. So it's me giving the middle finger.
Yep.
So that was fun. I also did one where I buried my emotions. So that one says RIP Maggie's anger. And that one says, or no, Maggie's frustration. And that one says RIP Danielle's anger.
Oh,
and
nice. That's
the first time I've seen okay. her since February. We got to socially distance and we wore our masks for the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So that was fun to get to see her in person. Oh yeah. And then the one that everybody has really liked are my, evergreen eyebrows.
Though that is amazing. I forking love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
I went to Party City and got spirit gum, although it definitely stuck better to my fingertips than to my face. Uh-huh. Like maybe it was because I had like makeup mm-hmm. on my face and I didn't want to stick to the makeup. So like I would take about 5 or 6 pictures and then they would fall off and then I'd have to like try to smash them on there again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that one, everybody really liked my evergreen eyebrows.
That's awesome.
And then I also did I end up showing you the video of me lip syncing to Wahlberg?
No.
Oh my God.
I don't remember. No, you practiced it last week with me.
I did. It ended up being amazing. I actually didn't awesome. Do it until the last day.
Uh-huh.
I just kept practicing it all week till I got it right.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, I gave him the Sarah Cooper treatment and it's delightful. So awesome. For those of you who don't know or didn't realize that was her name, Sarah Cooper is the TikTok celebrity, TikTok star who quotes Trump, right? She like lip syncs to his things, but like in the video does things to make fun of him. And her most popular one is the one where he's talking about the cognitive test. And he's like, and the doctors came in and they said, nobody's ever done what you've done. And then she colors a picture of
Poppy. Right, right, exactly. Nobody's ever done what you've done. Okay, that wasn't a compliment, guy. That was like a Southern woman saying, oh, bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
And this one, Beth made out of fucking salt. That is salt on black paper.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I see it. Yeah. I can see the dimension of it too. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's the Kraken, you guys. And it has probably 20 tentacles and it's holding a little ship and it's just made out of salt on black paper. Isn't that crazy?
It's so amazing.
It's so amazing. Oh, and then I also got blood from a rock. What do you think?
How'd you do that?
The blood was all on the backside of the knife.
Oh.
It was all over the backside of the knife. So as soon as I put it on the rock, the blood would show up.
Oh, so smart.
It wasn't real blood. It was makeup blood that I had because I have needed makeup blood before. I like to be a zombie sometimes.
You do.
So yeah, it's my like zombie makeup blood. And I put a ton of it on the backside of the knife. And so then when the knife is going up and down on the thing, it's leaving little blood prints.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good?
It's awesome. Awesome, yeah, awesome, so awesome.
Ish was super fun this year. So I have 2 videos that I need to send you, Shannon. One is the Wahlberg lip syncing one. It turned out so good. And then the other one is our 80s.
Show that one, your 80s show intro. Yeah.
I showed you that?
Yep.
God, that was good.
It was real good.
I want to watch that show.
I do. I want to watch that show. I subscribed to your team channel when I saw that.
That's amazing.
So
delightful.
Well, my friend, it is about that time. Do we
That's have what I was about to say.
Internet memes of the week?
Yes. This one I got off Reddit today. It says, No matter your background, gender, or ethnicity, life is terrible.
Yeah.
Yes. And this one is like very pretty, right? Look, it's very pretty. Uh-huh. It says, it's a beautiful day to yell at God, and it's like a beautiful sunset. And this person is yelling, what the fuck? And this person says, come out, we just want to talk. And this person says, face us, you coward. It's a beautiful day to yell at God.
Right? That's awesome.
So those were my internet things of the week this week.
Oh, super quick. Yeah. Catherine went to camp for 2 weeks. And I discovered that once she gets out of camp, she likes to tell me all about her day a lot. So I started recording her just to see how long she would talk nonstop between like getting her in the car and getting home. And that girl on average is clocking anywhere between 7 and 10 minutes straight of just like, blah, 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 blah,
blah. That's a lot.
So I have 3 like Catherine episodes to post.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm going to put them all together. So looks like, yep. So this is going to be 246 tonight.
Perfect. All right. So everybody find us online and interact with us. I don't know if you heard, there's a pandemic going on, and we just like talking to people, you know, like we don't see people face to face as much during this pandemic, and you fucking shouldn't either. So yeah, find us on all of the social media places and talk to us because we love hearing from you. And also you can find me on Twitter. I'm Maggie at Brain of Maggie.
And I'm Shannon at Shannon's Party.
And this has been episode, you literally just told me what it was.
246.
246 of That More Thing with Shannon and Maggie.
Bye. Bye.